The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, Pete.
Hello, babe. How are you?
I am always good when I see that face of yours.
You to me are everything, the sweetest song that I could sing home.
Oh, baby. Oh, should we have a sing song this one? Should we make sure that every 5 minutes?
When I am down.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Any other songs?
No, we haven't done yet. It's been to karaoke.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, well, I know my singing skills, you know, could do some work. However, yours...
Better vibe.
No. There is a voice in there underneath the hair.
Oh, I see what you've done there. You're a poet and you didn't know it.
Fuck. Oh, and so are you. Mic drop.
Right, so...
Hi, FUBAR. Hi.
Dancing with Cece, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay, you just do... I'll tell you what, I'm going to introduce the show whilst you do some expressional dance to it.
Expressional dance! I get so excited. Go.
Okay. Welcome to The Dating Show with Cece Coleman and Pete Wicks on FUBAR Radio. This week, our topic is matchmaking, and we have the fabulous Paul C. Brunson, who will be joining us today. You probably know Paul from programmes such as Married at First Sight UK and Celebs Go Dating. He is a very good friend of mine and a wonderful human being. So feel free to be enlightened, confused by Cece, and just enjoy yourself. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Scream if you want to go faster.
I'm out of breath now.
Okay, good.
I'm just
fabulous.
Mortified.
Slightly mortified. We are going to have the weird and wonderful dating news. We're going to have listeners' questions and stories. We've got the Love the Way You Lie game. But before we do all that, Cece, what time is it?
I do not know why I've got to bounce everything that you say, but I want to learn.
Tell me what time it is.
It is time to learn from Peter Wicks. We're going to learn today what Pete Wicks does in the bedroom. Tell us, Pete. Let's go.
I would just like to point out, Cece has this habit of telling everyone that these are all things that I've done.
Yes, they are.
This one...
You know what happens? He actually tells me beforehand. That's why I'm telling you. That's why I know that Pete does this in the bedroom. Pete, okay. Remind me what you do in the bedroom.
Yeah, thank you, babe. So this week's dating sex book term with Peter James Wicks, that is me, is a dirty swirly.
Is it when you do something like you're trying to look sexy? The guy is. So that says you're basically swinging your willy around like the helicopter thing, the swirly whirly, whatever you just said it was, and it doesn't work.
Okay, no, it's not. But I like the idea that you think it is just a helicoptering dick. Let's all just take a minute to imagine helicoptering. Okay. Now that
what kind of sound does it make?
My dick. Oh, yeah. I would love it if it went. It's more like that.
Like a mosquito. Like, you know, wing.
So now that you've all thrown up in your mouths, imagine me helicoptering my dick around a bedroom. A dirty swirly.
How many times have you done that? How many times actually have you done that? Yeah.
Well, I can do it in time to music.
Oh, so this is it. See, I knew it was a regular thing for you. Look at you. No one knows. He raised an eyebrow. So, in time to use it.
That is not what a dirty swirly is.
So,
I can helicopter my dick till you spin me right round.
So, what I know I'm going to do is drop a beat for you. Right, Pete Wicks is going to swing his dick.
No, there's no dick swinging today. However, I'm going to tell you what a dirty swirly is.
Go on.
And a dirty swirly is... while penetrating someone from behind in the bathroom, you dip their head in the toilet and flush it. Weren't expecting that, were you?
No, not at all.
So it's flushing someone's head down the toilet while fucking them from behind.
Wow.
That dirty swirly.
Just, is the toilet empty?
Yes. if not, then it's a fucking dirty swirly.
Oh, so there's two levels to it, okay.
Yeah. It's different levels.
Dirty levels. Swirly and fucking
depending on your fetish.
Swirly.
Depending on your fetish, you can, yeah, you can, you know, sometimes it's just piss that's in the bowl. Sometimes there's slabs of meat.
Got it. I think I, usually I love all the things that you share with me and I'm always willing to try, you know, I think you've got to try everything once.
So CC is up for trying a dirty swirly. So anyone listening, as she just said, she's normally up for trying new things. So this is something to add to the list. So if you would like to dirty swirly CC Coleman and then cover her in talcum powder, then please write into the show. You can contact us.
I was actually going to say, correction, I want to try a fucking dirty swirly. But you know what? You brought talc into it, so now I'm done. I'm off. No. Okay. Talc is my thing. Don't spoil my image and what I do with my talcum powder.
We all love the image of you in talcum powder. So, on that note, if you are listening to us still...
Do we even tell them what our subject was this week?
Yes, I did, matchmaking.
Oh. Okay, well,
Yeah, sorry, I did that one. We were expressionally dancing.
That was it. Yeah.
Yep. So we are going to go straight from the dating sex book and toilet flushing fucking to the weird and wonderful dating news. Cece has a pen moustache at the minute.
I'm in one of those moods.
You look quite distinguished.
Do I?
You do. You do look very distinguished. As far as ladies with moustaches go, you are my favourite.
Weird and wonderful dating news. What we got this week? How weird can we go? How low can we go?
Go on. Do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. Are you all right if I start?
Babe, I always like it when you start and I finish.
Okay, so... Oh, this is one for you, actually. Sex toys. So...
Whoa. Why is this one for me?
Because it says men with sex toys.
And I just look like a man with a sex toy?
Oh, I reckon you've got a good old draw.
Tell us the
silence says it all.
Tell us the dating news, babe.
I've got some facts for you as well. You know how we love facts.
We do love
facts. So, study reveals the pandemic has made more men experiment with sex toys. Long gone are the days of women secretly buying sex toys and feeling shameful. In fact, using toys is something to celebrate. It says you're sexually empowered and taking charge of your own sexuality. However, the narrative for men hasn't changed at the same pace, as toys are often seen as emasculating and taboo. I didn't know that. But it looks like the pandemic has changed the sexual landscape as new research from sexual wellness brand Lello has found that of 4,000 UK-based males, 41% used a sex toy for the first time in lockdown. Wow. And 16% are now using a male toy at least once a day. Oh, I get it now. I was thinking it was like during the sex act, but it's actually on themselves, right?
I believe that's what they're saying in the survey, yes.
The survey says... The reasons cited for trying toys include exploring anal pleasure, boosting performance, learning more about personal likes and dislikes, and reaching orgasm quicker. According to the survey, the most popular male sex toy are vibrating penis rings, penis sleeves, and prostate massagers. Fucking get in there. So, Pete, I think you already know what I'm going to ask you. Do you own a prostate massager?
I do not. I've got to say, that is not my cup of tea.
What, just the prostate massager?
I've actually never used any of them things.
You never used a penis ring?
I've never used a cock ring.
Oh.
I've actually not. I know, as you know, I'm quite open.
You've got a lot of friends with things, is that what you're saying?
I'm quite open to oversharing on this show, but no, I've never used a cock ring. A penis sleeve, I'm not entirely sure what that is. Is that like a fake vagina?
Vagina. I think it's probably is, right?
Yeah, I've never fucked a rubber vagina either.
Okay.
And the prostate thing, listen, I know the male G-spot is in the arse and all that shit, but it ain't for me.
You have used sex toys?
I've used them on women, yes.
Right. Do you own sex toys?
Nope, I don't actually have any.
So does that mean that someone else might introduce it and you'll say, well, come on then?
Yeah, well, quite often it's you normally use a lady's sex toy. Well, I mean, in my experience, you normally use their sex toys on them, don't you? It's not something that I have experienced myself. I am a virgin when it comes to the use of sex toys on myself.
Okay, so, what's that then?
Obviously, you're not a man, Cece, but tell us all about your...
my drawer.
Yeah, tell us all about your drawer.
In my drawer. No, what I will say is...
Whenever you go to Cece's house, there's always a faint buzzing. And I'm never entirely sure why, but there's just a faint buzzing. Sometimes they just switch themselves on, all of your equipment. You find them in the strangest places. She has them under the sofa for easy access. She has them in the kitchen for, you know, in the drawers next to the cutlery, under the bed, next to the drawer. There's one in the toilet for some reason. I don't know why. So Cece's just, her house is sort of like...
Buzzing. You know,
yeah, it's buzzing.
Literally buzzing. Yeah.
You know when you do like an Easter egg hunt, sort of, that's what you do at Cece's house. So instead of finding chocolate eggs, what you find is love eggs. They just seem to be everywhere.
Have you finished?
Yes, thank you.
Anything else? No. Actually, no, I was going to overshare, but just because of what you said, I'm not going to fucking do it now. I'm not going to do it.
All right, I'll tell you what. Share one thing with us. What is your favourite sex toy?
I don't have one. I don't.
Fuck off, Cece. Fuck off.
I know, everyone says this. I think I'll tell you off air, but I have a question to the audience, which is...
You know they can't answer, don't you?
Well, they always come back. Don't you know what they're like? They send us a DM, they write to us, they send us an email.
They do always come back, sort of like your ex that you don't want to come back.
So... I was going to say cock rings, right? Penis rings. I prefer the word penis. So penis rings.
All right.
My question about that is, to the audience, or you, Pete, but you said you've never used one. No. How do you make that comfortable? Because I have experienced using one during a sexual act and I found it annoying and in the way.
Right.
So my question to the audience is, how do you get around that?
Yeah, do you know what? I'd like to know the answer to that because, again, because I've not used one, I'm not entirely sure. Because so it goes on the base of your cock and you've got a vibrating bit for your bollock. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just ends up getting in the way. It's sort of like...
What, because actually, you can't take the full length?
I think we should move on.
Okay, excellent. So
maybe let's ask Paul, our guest.
we'll ask Paul. So, moving on, you are listening to The Dayton Show on FUBAR Radio. Thank you very much for listening. Cece and I very much appreciate it. We are a long way into this show. We have done many, 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 many shows. And this week's topic is matchmaking. Now, my question for you, Cece, is have you ever match made? Have you ever tried to set two people up?
I've shag made. So I've got friends to sleep with each other. That sounds great, isn't it? No, do you know what? I can't say I have ever had two friends that I don't want the pressure of it because when it fucks up, I'm in the middle. Well, you know, if you want to go and be and do what you want to do on a Saturday night, do what you need to do. Like she's, you know, wants something, he wants something, fine. But I don't want to be that person that's like, you two have to be together because I don't know if you're meant to be together. I only know you as friends. I don't know you as you in relationships and it's very different.
Well, I recently had an experience that involves you. Cece and I recently went for dinner with our wonderful producer, Georgia. And a friend of mine who works at the place that we went to took a liking to Cece.
Oh, yeah.
So also found him very attractive, didn't you?
I did. Beautiful man.
So I sort of introduced them. You two got on very well that evening, swapped numbers and all that sort of stuff. I then spoke to Cece a couple of days later and said, oh, I'm going back to that restaurant tonight. Have you spoken to my friend? To which you replied, no. You hadn't replied.
I hadn't at that point, no.
So then because he's my friend and I felt bad, I then said to Cece, please, can you reply before I go?
Yeah. Because so it's not awkward for you. Exactly.
It's not awkward for me. So I don't like matchmaking because when you do that, it kind of, it gets you involved, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And you never want to be the person in the middle, because then it's like, whose side you take? I just think that is unnecessary ag.
I completely agree. However, we do have someone coming on who is a very good friend of mine, someone that I've worked with plenty of times, spent time with, and someone that we've tried to get on the show for a long time, but he is a busy, busy man. He is the king of matchmaking. It is Mr. Paul.
The excitement.
Paul, if you don't know, he's American dating guru, entrepreneur, and author who has been on Celebs Go Dating since 2018, which is where I've worked with him a couple of times. He describes himself as the world's most influential matchmaker.
Does he? Why?
Well, he has his own matchmaking firm. He's also friends with Oprah Winfrey. But Paul is more than just a matchmaker. Paul is one of the most amazing people I've ever met. He's an absolute inspiration and a life coach.
Well, that intro was fucking beautiful. So let's bring him on.
What's up? What's up, good people? What's up, good people?
Paul, where have you been all my life?
I tell you what, man, it's good to see you, P.
It's so good to see you, man. You look fabulous. We've all gone for knitwear today.
I tell you, it's the vibe, you know, because I'm in London. I'm in London right now. So it's the vibe here.
What part? South, east, north, west?
South.
Boom.
South. Are
I'm
you south?
I am so south.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I like the vibe in south.
So do I.
Yeah. I was in central for about 3 years. And we kept gravitating, you know, south, south, south. So we're properly here now.
You're properly there. So, Paul, listen, before we start, we are just going to, we're going to massage your balls a little bit. we are going to do some quick fire questions. All right?
All right, good deal.
So, Cece, do you want to take it away?
Yes. So, question one, date night in or date night out?
Okay, this is for me, right?
Yeah.
Oh, in. I'm an introvert. My wife is an introvert. Always in.
Kissing or cuddling?
Oh, man. God. Depends. Like, it depends, you know? They both serve their purpose. Honestly, I think I'm more of a cuddler than a kisser. Yeah, I'm more of a cuddler, yeah.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving.
Now, this is a really interesting one. I can't wait for you to answer this one. Dating apps or meeting in person?
Oh man, meeting in person 110% of the time. Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay.
Dream job or dream partner?
Dream partner all the time. All the time.
Oh, didn't even think about it.
I feel like I'm going to know the answer to this one. Chat up line or straight to the point?
Oh man, right in. Be blunt with it. Be blunt with it.
Go right. No, I reckon your chat up lines are just beautiful. I imagine.
Paul doesn't need chat up lines,
but. Yeah, but they probably sound like they are, but they're not. I just imagine you just talk and it sounds.
Paul's the only man I know who naturally makes men and women fall in love with him just by saying hello.
Well, Paul, I have a little confession. I go to bed with you every night.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I listen to you every night. I listen to your affirmations. So I go to bed with you. And then this morning, I woke up with you.
Wow. You know what? I appreciate that.
I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. Look at the affirmations are everything. They'll change your life for real. Yes.
Oh, I just want to say we've done probably nearly 50 shows. And that is the first time that Cece's ever been that creepy. So I apologize. I apologize in advance.
Fuck me over right now, please. I'm really trying here. I'm allowing Paul to understand where I'm at.
Yes, I know.
South London affirmations.
We're there. And also on the chat up lines, I have to say this because I've said this over and over again. This is a very popular question I get. Is I'm always asked which celeb that I work with on Celebs Go Dating, I felt had the best flirt game, the best flirt situation, and I always say it was P. And I don't just say that.
Look at that face.
But it is the truth. And we should, like Pete, we should break down your flirt game. Can we break down your flirt game?
Cece, let's do this. Oh, we are there for it. Let's go. Let's do this.
Okay. So the first thing that I love about Pete is he actually, what he does is he commands the room. And a lot of people don't realize this. And I don't even know if he's doing this intentionally or if this is just his vibe. Like this is just what he does. but he commands the room. He walks in, right? He'll stand normally in the center of the room, which is where people who feel the most power, right? That's where they stand. People who feel nervous or on edge, they hug the walls. You know what I mean? P goes in, he stands right in the center. The second thing that I notice is, and this is something that I love. I don't think P does this intentionally, but I love this is normally, like, you see a group of women, right? And you see men approach the women. Normally men go after who they consider to be the most attractive, right? The most, right? But Pete goes in like a lion attacking deer, you know? He goes after the most feeble, the most crippled, the one with one eye, the one with like no legs, you know?
So basically pulls
oh, this is
so I go in, go for the weakest part of it, guarantee success.
Oh, I love your theory. Wicked.
But no. But what it does actually is it then creates a fondness and respect. Because everyone's like, oh, wow, look at him. Like, he's giving love, you know, to the one that gets no love, you know? And it creates love. It's just the game, like, it's just so perfect. It's so perfect.
Oh, my God.
Paul, before you came on, I was really excited about you coming on. thanks ever so much, mate. I mean, listen, it's not often I'm speechless. As you know, I don't like talking to myself.
I just want to see this go down now. I really want to see you do this, Pete, because we have been on a few nights out, but you haven't actually gone to the center of the room and then chosen the deer in the room and approached the deer. So I'd love to see this.
Cece, when I'm out with you, I'm not hunting, babe. So I'm just enjoying and relaxed.
You've been present with me.
Mode when I am feeling at the mouth, ready to attack the weakest, lamest deer possible. So the next quick fire one for you, Paul, we'll move on swiftly, is big spoon or little spoon?
Oh, big.
And the last one we know the answer to is single or taken. Obviously, Jill, you've been married to for how long now?
20 years. 20 years this year.
Wow.
Right. And also, Cece, if you get a chance, and anyone listening, go and check out Paul's Instagram with his family, because they are honestly the most beautiful family. Your boys, Liam and Kingston, are such absolute legends, genuinely.
I appreciate it. And they love you, obviously. Every time they see a pirate ship, they think Pete is on the pirate ship, you know?
In all seriousness, because I've obviously got this pirate nickname. Paul, I remember Paul sending me a picture or a video when you were, I think it was somewhere on the Thames, and there was like an old pirate ship.
Yeah.
He took a video and you could hear his sons going, is Pete on the boat?
Oh.
Accent ever. But yeah. Anyway, so this week our topic is matchmaking.
Okay.
So who better to have on than you? So you've obviously been a matchmaker and a life coach. I mean, you're not just a matchmaker, you're a life coach. You're just an amazing person. But as a matchmaker, how many marriages have you, not just on Married at First Sight, I mean, throughout your entire career of doing this, how many?
I honestly have no clue, but it's probably 1,000+. Probably 1,000+.
Holes of 1,000+ marriages. You are just a fucking love guru, you.
Oh, man. You know what the best thing, honestly?
Fucking helped me, though, did ya?
Man, you know what, Pete? If you want to really make it work, we can make it work. You have to see, this is the part, is
want to be matched.
Exactly. Mm. All the time, people will say, Paul, match me. But when you sit down, you say, okay, do you really want to be in a committed relationship? And are you wanting and willing to put the work in? Because with our matchmaking agency that we ran in the States, we wouldn't even match you right out the gate. Mm-hmm. We would spend 3 to 6 months in therapy and coaching before we even get to the matching point.
Wow.
Right. So a lot of people were just like, nah, I don't want to do that kind of work. But the reason why that kind of work is important is because when you're in a relationship, And I don't want to make it seem like it's a battle, and it's, or when you're in a committed relationship, I say, and you both know this, is you have to fight to make it work. Yeah. Like you have to intentionally go after this thing to make it work every day. You have to be conscious about this. I always say that a great relationship is like tennis, like you're putting in bids. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is you have to put in a bid. You have to say, I see you. I love you. I appreciate you. Whether that's cooking for them, a back rub, let me go get you coffee when I don't feel like waking up because the house is cold, but let me go get you coffee, right? You have to put these bids in and you have to do it every day, multiple times a day. And then when a bid comes to you, you have to return it. You have to say, thank you. I see you. So let me return it. So every day it's work. Mm-hmm. It's work every day. And a lot of people don't want to do that. And I respect that, right? But if you do, it takes enormous work to make it. Wow. It takes work to make it work.
Do you know, I paraphrase you on this show quite a lot, Paul, over the however many episodes we've done, because something really sticks with me that you once told me, and I don't even know if it was on camera or off camera, but you said when looking for a partner, the one thing that you have to have before anything is the same core values and principles. Yes. And from that, you can build everything else. You know, you can like and dislike different things, and that's okay, but you have to have the same core values and principles. And I've said it 1,000 times on this show, haven't I? I always say, Paul told me this. Do you believe that is the foundation, genuinely, for a strong relationship?
Oh man, those are the building blocks.
Yeah.
Because your values are your rule book to life. Everybody has a different rule book to life. Everybody lives differently. And you can't say you live incorrectly or you live correctly, right? Because we're all different people. Mm-hmm. But when you have your rule book to life and then you find someone who lives the same way that you live, that's the foundation. The biggest problem with relationships is that people find other people who don't fit all of their values. They live by some of the rules, but they live by also different rules. And you will never be able to fully be happy in a relationship with someone who doesn't believe the same things that you believe, right? And you can't expect an adult to then change their belief to fit your rule book, right? That's unfair. You know, so absolutely, values are the foundation and everything builds from there.
But if someone doesn't know, because it's hard to know what your values are sometimes, you know, you have an idea, but to really nail it down, how do you know that that person is actually telling the truth? Because especially with age, you know, values change, they change monthly, something might happen and you feel differently about it. How do you know that this person actually has, firstly, the values, and then you've got to find the other stuff on top too?
Yeah, great question. And I say it actually even starts with, do you even know your values?
Hmm.
Right? A lot of us haven't done the work to know what we actually value. And that's the reason why it's called deep work. It's like the first work you do is the work on yourself and understand, like, what do I value? What is it? What am I living for? Like think about that real quick. Right now, we don't have to be here on earth. We don't have to be here. We could easily take our life, right? So what keeps you here? What do you wake up to do? What's your purpose? Like, you have to really think about that. For me, for example, I value family. I value ambition. I value creativity, right? I value culture. These are the things that I wake up every day excited to contribute to, right? To learn from, to give to feed. So the first is you have to know, what do you value? If you don't know what you value, you are living a very unhappy life. But once you know what you value and you could put that in your life every day, your happiness level is going to go through the roof. That's one. Then secondly, how do you find that in someone else? Here's how you do it. First, know that whenever you meet somebody, you don't meet that somebody, you meet their representative. Yeah. So you're not meeting the real person yet. You know what I mean? But then what ends up happening very quickly is that person will begin to show what they value. Now, listen to what I just said. I didn't say they're going to tell you. They're not going to tell you. They're going to show you what they value. How are they going to show you? They're going to show you by where they want to spend their time, where they want to spend their money, right? You see somebody over time show you. And this is why we've got to be critical listeners. It's not just about, okay, I hear what you're saying. It's, I see what you're doing. And there's even great science behind this, because everybody talks about the divorce rate in the world is basically 50%. And that's true. In the UK, in the US, it's about 50% of us who get married divorce. But guess what? If you pull out the people who have dated in a committed way for 2 years and then get married, you know what their divorce rate is? 20%. It's much lower. Basically, 80% of people who have been in a committed relationship for 2 years prior to marriage stay together. Why is that? It's because they've used that time to really figure out, who are you?
So the anomaly with that divorce rate is that people rush into it too quick. They think they fall in love, think this is it, this is going to be the one. They get married before they really know the person well enough to work out whether that's someone they are going to spend the rest of their life with.
Exactly. And here's the best way to know somebody: when times are hard.
Yeah.
When times are hard, then you see, how do you show up? And not only when times are hard for you, when they're hard for me, when I'm at my lowest, right? When I wake up and I got boogers in my eye, you know what I mean? When I stink, you know, when I don't have a job, when I don't have any money in my account, right? When the car is not working, like when all of those things happen to you, who shows up, right? That's how you test somebody's character. And that's how you test to see what values they have.
Love that. Cece, what did I tell you?
It's just because there's just so many different things. I'm like, basically, it's like waiting. Rushing into it doesn't work. Waiting does. But then what if you've been together 2 years, you get married, and then something happens 6 months later and you're like, shit, this is the test and you fucked up. Shit, should have waited 2.5 years, not two.
Yeah. Well, so it's not an exact 2 years that you go.
I know, but...
But to your point is, this is why people say, love is patient, love is kind. And what does that mean? Love is patient, love is kind. It means that you have to be patient with it, right? You have to allow someone to expose who they actually are. And you can't manufacture adversity. You can't just say, all right, look, like, fake it. All right, I have nothing. Now, do you love me? Like, you have to allow. But yeah, you got to feel. But it will happen. Like, we know this. We know this. There's good times and there are bad times. It will happen.
Before we lose you, although we don't want to lose you, we're going to play a game. Have you heard about this game?
I have heard about this game.
I can't wait to hear yours. Matt, so we're going to play the Love the Way You Lie game.
Okay. Hit me with the rules, just so I know that I'm going to say this right.
Cece does the rules, because despite the fact that we've done nearly 50 shows, I still can't remember.
Three stories or statements about relationships or dating.
Okay.
One of which is a lie.
Okay.
So you can tell each story, so three stories or statements, one of them is a lie. And then at the end, Pete and I will either ask questions or guess. But we have to guess which is the lie at the end.
Okay. All right.
It's one lie, basically, and we'll have one question on each story.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try to make these quick stories, but, you know, I like a long-winded story. All right. So. All right, I'm going to do mine in chronological order because I'm a nerd like that.
I was just about to say, that's such a poor thing to do.
Chronological. I'm going to start with 1999. Now, 1999 seems like a long time ago, but 1999 was right before my wife and I got married. It was a couple of years before we got married. And so we were in full-on dating, and I was trying to impress her. You know, that was my whole thing. I want to impress her. She's extraordinary. So I want to give her extraordinary, you know, events. So I got tickets to go to Vegas in 1999. Now, Vegas is always popping, right? P, you know, Vegas is always popping.
Yeah. One of my favorite places. Yeah.
But in 99, Vegas was next level. You had Tyson fights. You had all these things happening. And Prince was performing. I see your face. Prince was performing in 1999, his album, 1999.
Wow.
So we go to Vegas, the concert was incredible. Then one of my boys invited us to a party at a penthouse at MGM, right? MGM, great spot.
Yeah.
Long story short, in the party is Charlie Murphy. Now, a lot of people don't know who Charlie Murphy is. Charlie Murphy is Eddie Murphy's brother, okay? Charlie Murphy is friends with Prince. And the whole, it's a chill vibe, right? Chill vibe. Charlie Murphy, the whole night is like, look, I know Prince. And I was like, all right, if you know him, call him up. Like, bring him through. He called Prince. Prince came to the party. So me, my wife, Charlie Murphy, it's like eight of us in there. Prince shows up with like three dudes. There's a basketball court in the penthouse suite. So yeah. In the penthouse, there's a basketball court. And at the end of the night, we're playing basketball. Me, Charlie Murphy, Prince, right? His crew were playing basketball at the MGM.
I genuinely, if that's not true, Paul, I'm going to be so disappointed because that's one of the fucking greatest stories I've heard.
Oh, man. I've got epic stories. Epic.
Before you go on to the other two, this is why I'm so glad you've come on, Paul, because some of the other stories that we ask people to come on and do, they go, I once threw up on someone's dick on a date. I mean, that's the stories we get. Paul's come on with, well, I played a bit of basketball at a penthouse with Prince. So
levels.
Yeah, I want shit on someone's face, but that's what we get, and then we get this from you. So second story, Paul.
Oh my god. All right. Second story. All right. 2003. I've now just been married for 2 years, right? And I'm still trying, because you got to keep the hotness up, right, when you get married, right? So I got tickets to go to the Delano in South Beach. Now, a lot of people don't know Delano, especially at that time, it was popping, right? It was like, you go to the pool, Art Deco, right? Philippe Stark, you know, did the decorations for everybody who loves a little, you know, loves a little Art Deco. Madonna was the co-owner of Delano. You go out, Diddy would be at the pool, you know, just hanging out. So anyway, we're at the Delano and I decide, you know, I'm trying to keep up, you know, keep shape. So I go to the gym. In the gym, it's just me working out, right? All of a sudden, I see this the biggest dude I've ever seen in my life. Looked like he was 8-9 feet tall. He walks in, he looks in, he looks around, then he walks out, and then Jay-Z walks in, right? By himself. So it's just me and Jay in the gym working out. Now, I never fanboy off of anybody. I'm just, you know, always chill. I was freaking out. I was like, this is my man right here from New York, from Brooklyn. This is my dude. Like, I've got to talk to him. I got to figure out how to talk to him. So long story short is we end up like we were doing a circuit. We end up coming across each other. And I was like, yo, I think you're the greatest of all time, right? You're the GOAT, blah, blah, blah. We exchange numbers. He then sends me a text. Now, no one knew he was dating Beyonce at this point. 2003, we didn't know he was dating Beyonce. He was like, hey, I've got tickets for you and your wife. And I was like, what? What? It was the Dangerously in Love tour kickoff in Miami. Jay-Z got us front row tickets to that. So that was our date, 2003. That was November 2003.
I'll keep up this shit. Fuck's sake.
Seriously, so that's story number two. So you met Jay-Z in the gym and he invited you to Beyonce's Dangerously in Love tour where you got front row tickets.
With my wife.
You got that for you and Jill because Jay-Z hooked you up.
You know
how it goes.
Wicked.
I can hook you up with anything like sort of Nando's in Essex or anything like that, mate. If you just give me a bell. story number three.
All right. I'll try to make this one quick. But all right. So this is 2011, right? If you're a fan of New York, right, where I'm from, there's a spot called the Rainbow Room. A lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah.
Oh, CeCe knows about it.
CeCe lived in New York.
I lived there 3 years.
In New York.
There you go. All right. So you know the Rainbow Room, right? Basically, top of the rock.
Sorry, Alexa's kicking off. Alexa, stop. She likes the Rainbow Room.
She does. This is good. A lot of people don't know about the Rainbow Room. So you know, it's upscale. You know, it's very nice. So my wife and I are there on a date, and you know, a lot of people wear ties, tuxes. A lot of ladies wear long gown situations. My wife is wearing this long sequence gown, like looks fabulous. We walk in and there's a lot of people there. Oprah and Stedman are there. Now, I know Oprah because I did a project with Oprah for 3 years, worked with her. So we see each other. And I was like, right. And my wife was like, Oprah, right. Now, it turns out that Oprah also had a long sequence gown. And so Oprah and my wife hug each other and the sequence locks. It locks in. It's like perfectly locks in, like a zipper, right? So they go to try to pull away and they can't pull away. And you've got Oprah's like bodyguard, you got assistants, you got maids running around trying to unlock them. And my wife doesn't know what to say. She's so embarrassed. She rubs the back of Oprah's neck and says, "You've got the softest neck I've ever felt." I was like, "Jill, that's what you say? The softest neck in your life?" So it took them about 10 minutes to unlock the situation. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the stories are played basketball with Prince. The second one is JC hooked me up with Beyonce tickets. And the third one is my wife's a bit creepy when around Oprah. and the third one is Jill thinks Oprah's got a lovely neck.
Yes, yes. That's
okay.
It.
It wouldn't surprise me if all three of them are true.
I know. I kind of want them to be.
You know what? I don't even really have questions for them.
I've got a question, but I'm like, do I even want to ask or I just want to guess? I might just roll with the guess. I'm just going to go with the guess.
Roll with the guesses.
All right. Yeah.
All right, give it to me then.
Stories, and then we're probably going to have questions after. I think the lie is number two.
Number two, okay.
I think Jay-Z is the liar. I think he played basketball Prince, and I think Jill and Oprah were interlocked.
Okay, interesting. Cece, what do you think?
So I'm going to go with number, I think two has truth to it, but I think it's the lie because I don't think the Dangerously in Love tour was out in 2003.
Oh.
That was a long time ago and I still remember it. So that's my one. And also, and I was going to say, I don't know if Jay-Z would give you his number, but he probably fucking would, which is really annoying. He probably fucking would. So I'm going to go that it's a lie, but maybe something, yeah. I'll go two as well.
Wow. I just want to point out, Paul, that Cece's like Sherlock fucking Holmes with this game.
Yeah.
She takes it very, very seriously.
Yeah, I got a pen and paper and everything.
I see it.
She writes notes and everything. It's supposed to be just like a little, you know, game that we all
fun. Have fun with. I take it real serious. Yeah.
Fuck ever playing board games with Cece at Christmas.
Right? Yeah.
She's that person who's always the banker when it's Monopoly. That's Cece.
You know what? I could tell, Cece, this is what I like about you. See, I'm always the banker in Monopoly. And I knew I had to come with my facts.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to say that you two are good, but you two are both wrong.
It's number three. It's number three, isn't it?
It's not number three.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay. So number one is...
It's number one, but number one is only a partial. So all of that happened with the exception of Prince never showed up. Charlie Murphy sent him the tape. He was like, I know him. I was like, okay, go ahead, call him. He never showed up. We played basketball anyway. So Prince never came to the party. I never played basketball with Prince. That's the only little bit of twist on that.
You are such a good liar.
I know.
I had to, you know, you have to take the details and just pull one little piece.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I mean?
I've got another question then. How long did it take for you to convince Jay-Z to give him his number?
Yeah, so this is great. It was probably 5 minutes because here's the thing, and this is actually what I've learned about relationship building, is that the moment that you can share you can show that you know certain people, then there's a level of trust and comfort. Mm-hmm. So we knew a ton of people, like OGs from the block to in New York to other folks. And that's when he knew, okay, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that that was the very first kickoff of her Dangerously in Love tour. And that's when the rumors started. And also a side note to that is while I was in the gym, my wife was in the spa. And you know who was in the spa? B.
Wow.
B was in the spa. So that was when they first like started to become public on their relationship.
Wow.
This is why it's always so great to talk to Paul, because you just end up living vicariously through him.
It was.
I don't want this to end now. I mean, we say this every week because Pete and I love talking to each other, but this particular time in particular, I don't want to end.
Well, do you know what, Paul? You haven't let me down, because I've been saying on this show, we have to get you on. We have to get you on. I'm so excited that you actually, you know, we finally got you on. CC's been dying to talk to her, and you are just honestly such a great guy.
It was, this was good times. I also like the dynamic between you two. I like it, right?
You know what, Paul? We are like you and Anna in terms of the fact that we just have so much fun doing it. We actually love each other, trust each other. We're a team.
Yeah. 100%.
So work is always better, or whatever you do is always better, when you do it with someone you genuinely really like. Because you just have fun.
Yeah.
I can see it. You two, I don't know if you realize this, but you two complete each other's sentences. Like, literally. Pete, you start.
I don't know if that's a good thing anymore. I mean, finishing Pete Wicks's sentences.
CCC's I'm going down a path and then brings it back. Air it. That's what happens.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Well, listen, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy man, so we will let you go, but you have been an absolute pleasure as always. Say hello to the kids and Jill for me as well.
I will.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, you guys. Take care. I'll see you.
Mother.
Bye-bye.
I have to say, Pete, you did not let me down on this one.
No. It's one of them things, whenever you interview people, and we always go, oh, what a lovely person. I do know Paul quite well, just through having worked with him and spent time with him. And honestly, anytime he's open, he's one of them people, there's not many people that you can be in front of, and genuinely, anytime he opens his mouth, there is something you can take from it. Does that make sense? It's just someone that naturally you want to listen to. You know when he speaks, there's something that is worth listening to.
Mm.
Doesn't talk for the sake of talking type person. There is something you're going to be interested in with any situation.
He doesn't mix his words. Do you know what I mean? He's very, very good with his words. I don't know, it having that lovely, weirdly, because I find American accents, I'm not always a massive fan, but with him.
Oh, I fucking hate them. I hate American accents.
Is he Canadian or American?
He's American. He's from New York. He's from Brooklyn.
Fucking love Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him. Tonight, when I go to bed with him again, it's going to be different.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't even subtle about that.
See? No, I'm not. I can't be.
But in all seriousness, Paul as well is super happily married. Him and Jill have got such a like great relationship, and especially with the kids. But Paul is also one of the smoothest men I have ever met in my life. I've seen all sorts of people just melt just when he's talking, just like, what? You can't help it.
He's got something. He is mesmerising. And his stories, like, even the way he starts, like, 1999, it's like, right, I'm in for a treat. What's the story? Tell me. I'm excited.
Yeah, he is a great guy. So I'm glad. I hope everyone.
Wow.
So you are listening to The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio. We are now going to move on to listeners' questions and stories. If you want to keep up with everything that we do, by the way, then check us out on Instagram, which is the dating_show. That is the home HQ, the hub of everything we do. So, Cece, we are going to move on. And we, I believe, have got just one story this week. And I think we've got someone has wrote in. Is that right, Cece?
Yeah. Do you want to read out let's give some advice to Danny.
Okay.
Bye.
Read it out for you, then I will.
Yeah, you do.
So Danny would like advice. I've had two dates where the lady has bought an overnight bag. How would you deal with that? Well, Danny, I'll tell you what I would do, mate. Have a fucking good time.
I was going to say, is that not a really good thing? So he's had two dates where the lady has bought an overnight bag. So as in, I'm guessing that she's bought a bag and he hasn't allowed her to stay then. Is that what he's saying?
Or he means he's had two different dates and both times the two girls have bought an overnight bag. Now,
I think it was the ladies, no? If so.
where the lady is, well, yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe he's there too. I don't see either of these things as a bad thing. Now, just because someone brings an overnight bag doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to fuck them. Maybe it's just thinking, well, listen, I drink. Maybe she lives a little bit further away. I don't. Listen, chances are you are going to fuck them.
You are going to fuck them.
Yeah. But there's no necessarily saying that you would. I don't see it as a problem. I mean, it would be a bit odd if you turned up on a first date with someone and then suddenly she had a great big suitcase going, well, you know, what am I going to wear tomorrow?
Yes.
Because the chase is kind of off then, isn't it?
It's quite mixed on this one because I've heard lots of different stories about, like, women, friends of mine doing this. And they've also been sort of looked at a bit odd, you know, when they presume that they're going to stay over. I know it's quite nice to have like the element of surprise, but if you both live in the same area and it's not like too much of a travel to go home, then you can have the luxury of choosing to go to their house or go home. But if you're traveling from London to Essex, maybe you need to have a conversation and say, you know, obviously I can't get home because we're going to be drinking. So is it okay to stay at yours? And then you bring an overnight bag. To just presume, I would just have to ask because I'd be like, obviously I'm not going to go home. Is that not okay just to ask?
I mean, I don't see it as a bad thing, but I think, but also if someone has got an overnight bag, listen, as much as that's probably assuming on their part, if they haven't told you, don't automatically assume that that means that they're going to sleep with you. That's the only thing that I would say. So if someone did bring an overnight bag, my response to that, especially the first time, would be, oh, listen, that's absolutely, of course you can stay at mine. That's absolutely fine. You know, you can take the bed. I don't mind sleeping on the sofa or whatever else. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. Because then it's down to them to then mm-hmm. say, well, no, you can share a bed or whatever else. But mm-hmm. that politeness, that's what I would say. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how I would deal with it. If someone bought an overnight, I'm not going to tell them, no, that they can't stay. You know what I mean? Because they've obviously assumed, but I wouldn't assume that I was going to sleep with them either. Because you're sort of just, because then you're basically asking a question in a roundabout way. Like, I don't mind the bed, I'll sleep on the sofa. Then it puts the ball back in their court for them to go, oh no, I want you to stay with me or whatever else, you know?
This is actually a really quite, it's so simple, but I'm quite fascinated by it because I've never bought an overnight bag on the first or second date.
You just turn your knickers inside out the next day, don't you?
I'm not that prepared. I'm really not.
Winnickers.
Yeah, it's just a winnickers. Fuck it. But if I was, then and like times I have turned up with an overnight bag, it's because we've had a discussion and we've said, like, yeah, actually maybe I've been on maybe like a third date and I've gone, maybe I'll just like put my toothbrush in my bag just in case. But if I'm taking a full bag, it's quite obvious, and I'd quite like to announce it rather than just turn up with my backpack and be like, hey, I'd rather just say, look, is there an option?
Yes,
does that just take the surprise out of it? I don't know. It's quite.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, Danny asking how would you deal with that? Be cool about it, man. Like, I don't see it as like a. It's not the end of the world. It is what it is. It is a little bit.
Do you think he's trying to insinuate that this girl's keen bean?
Yeah, but
we need to rather her be a clean keen bean than a dirty keen bean.
Exactly. If you are going to have a bean, then you might as well have a clean.
You have a clean bean. Do you know what I mean? At least she's bought like stuff to wash with and change into.
Yeah, I think again, it's probably just down the, you know, is it a little bit keen, but it's also, you know, put it this way, Danny. Like, imagine.
Do you know what? I've just thought about it. If a guy on the first day rocked up to my house with a rucksack, I'd be like, mate, what are you doing? Yeah. I would be like, what are you doing?
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't invite a guy over to my house on the first date. I 100%. I've never done that, and I don't think I ever would. Well, I never say never, but haven't done that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. Is where was this date? If you'd invited her to your house, then I think it makes more sense for her to bring an overnight bag, just because you broke that boundary. You've gone, well, listen, come to my area, come to my personal space. This is me.
Yeah.
If she's rocked up to a restaurant with an overnight bag, it probably is a bit weird. That's the context of it. If you've gone, oh, listen, let's go for a few drinks and that, and she's turned up with a fucking suitcase and saying, well, it's just in case, then it is a bit odd. If you said to her, come to mine, I'll cook, we'll have a night here, we'll all do all that, and she brings an overnight bag, I don't see it as being that weird. I see that as being prepared.
Do you like a prepared girl?
I just like any girl, to be honest with you. So yeah, I think we don't know the full context, but I think it's not that bad.
Danny, do you reckon you could write to us or leave us a voice note? Fuck it, just leave us a voice note, it's quicker. And just let us know a bit more context, because I'm interested in this. I want to know if the next time I go to someone's house, should I or shouldn't I bring an overnight bag?
Yeah, should you or should you not pack the talc?
Keen bean or no keen bean? Talc or no talc? I would always take talc.
Always talc.
I would always take talc.
Since our conversation about talc, I have talced.
Oh, fuck. How do you feel?
Didn't
Why are you scratching your neck?
Oh, just because I had an itchy neck, is that right?
I thought you were going to tell me you talced your neck. I was like, it's not usually where I talc myself, but each their own.
Where is it that you talc yourself?
I don't want to tell you.
I honestly, Stacey, every moment that I spend with you, I love you more. Like,
what can I use talk about it?
Sometimes, just the way you everything about you. Sometimes I think to myself, I couldn't love you anymore. And then you do say, realize I do love you more. And at some point, I just don't know. I think I might explode at some point in my life with love for you. Because it just, every day you just...
Well, this is why when I moved to your house, which you did ask me last time to move into your house, I remember it, I've kept it, I've written it down. When I move to your house, I will educate you on talc powder, the types. I don't know, just, again, you look strange, like I'm strange.
Well, I've just got visions of fucking me and you... Right, and you going, right, this is where you talc first, and I use this talc for this bit.
Well, I have a system.
Turn round, yeah, exactly. I've just got you showing me your talc system.
Do you know what? I am so that girl that turns out with a rucksack on the neck with an overnight bag.
I didn't want to say it, but have you been on a plane with Danny?
He's talking about me. You fuck it, Danny. You weren't meant to tell anyone.
Right. Listen, it is that time for us to leave. But thank you for everyone, as always, for sending these stories and questions. Thank you, Danny. We would like to know a little bit more about it, so if you could. Anyone else that wants to share a dating story or wants some advice from two fucking pillocks like me and Six, then please email thedatingshow@foobartradio.com. Yeah. We love hearing from you. We love hearing all of your stories, and we like to offer you advice that you probably shouldn't take that seriously. Paul has been amazing today.
Paul,
I love you.
I love you.
Just full of love today, man.
Isn't it nice? So much nicer to just love than hate, isn't it?
Exactly. It is so much nicer to love.
Do you know what we haven't done for a long time?
A week. Do Circle of Love, Namaste.
Yeah. No. But in time, but you know, see?
What we need, see?
P and C.
P? Oh, you could call me P, P and C, C.
P, P, P. Oh,
you can be P.
Perfect.
No.
P, P and C, C, it's done. Done. No. That is the T-shirt.
I can't be P, P.
I will wear P, P on my T-shirt and you can wear C, C on yours. No, that's fucked up. No.
You've probably had P, P on your T-shirt once or twice. Right, so what we're going to do then is we're going to do Circle of Love, Namaste, into yep. one. It's going to be three parts to it in one. All right?
Okay. Ready?
What I think we should do, because we always try and watch each other to get it right, and there must be some sort of delay, I think we should close our eyes.
Okay.
And then we'll just see what happens. So do it as we're closing.
Okay. So it goes.
Gonna go 1, 2, 3.
Three. Circle of trust. Namaste. Okay. Just take your time. Okay. Just take your time.
Okay. Eyes closed. So it's
gonna let it all go.
I'm gonna go 1, 2, 3. Go.
Okay.
All right. Close
your eyes. Exhale. Shake it out a bit.
Oh. Okay, you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. I couldn't. Oh, you just let
me. Come on! I heard her jump up. I couldn't. She wanted to namaste with us. I did watch you, but it was really cute. I'll do it by myself if you want, and make you feel just as comfortable. But I don't have a dog. I've got my fake dog, my wooden dog.
CC, no.
Remember, I didn't buy it. It was a birthday present from an ex-boyfriend. It says more about them than it does me.
bought you a wooden dog?
Yeah. He wouldn't buy me a real dog. He bought me a wooden dog.
On that note, thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Have I never shown you my wooden dog?
No.